Dear Premananda Prabhu, please accept my humble obeisances. I am answering your Gita Gucha's question, your first question about Radhikashtakam of Rupa Goswami, which is on page 152. But I could not find out the words Damadamate Hui. It is not in slogan number 5. And your second question in verse 6, the Sanskrit Jagadagara Kirtim. Whole slok is Atula Mahasi Brinda Ranna Rajye Bhishiktam Nikhila Samaya Bhartu Kartika Sadi Devim Aparimita Mukunda Priyasi Brinda Mukchang Jagadagara Kirtin Radhika Marchyami. You have written there, see you remove the sin of all the worlds. This is correct. Okay. Your third, shall I start?
Yeah.
Your third question, verse number 7, you want to know that all living entities more dear to her, that means to Radhika, then Krishna totrips are to her. No, it is not correct. Radhika loves Krishna so much, more than his heart and soul. So another limbs of his of Krishna's body, but the totrips is the lowest part of body. Yet Srimati Radhika loves Krishna's totrips more than his heart and soul. So I love Krishna, how she can explain there? So don't think that another living entity is more dear to Radhika than Krishna's totrips. It is not correct.
What is the meaning of
it? The meanings of this slok is that about your question that Radhika loves Krishna's totrips so much, more than heart and soul. So he loves Krishna so deep. Radhika could not, so Rupa Goswami not explain here. That means if anybody loves his toe tips, that means whole body he loves is out of question. Because you know in Billa Mangal one slok, Chintamani Jayati Somagiri Gurume, Siksa Gurusha Bhagavan Sikipin Chamuli, Jat Pada Pallava Kalpataru Sekharesu, Lila Sangbara Sanglavate Yasri, Srimati Radhika doing arati of Krishna's toe. So always Krishna Radhika shows everywhere that he loves Krishna so much that she can do arati of Radhika. Krishna's toe trips means toe nail also. So he loves Krishna so deep, it is could not describe by any language. So your question about verse number 8, Nikosa Pasana Para Pisehuye Kumkuma Ke Saman mean Radhika's bodily is like that of Kumkum. You want to mean that which has been ground on pure touchstone, not touchstone. In India, who make ornaments of gold and silver, they used to taste by some stone, it is called Kosti Pathar. They rub the gold or silver on the stone, then they can know is it correct, it is pure or not. It is called Kosti Pathar, not touchstone. Touchstones mean if you touch any iron with stone, it will immediately turn into gold. Just like you remember about Sanatana Goswami's life history, he has one touchstone, but he kept it in the sand. One Brahmin came from Varanasi, sent by Mahadev. Then Sanatana Goswami could not remember. Then Brahmin said, oh, you don't know, Shankar sent me. Then Sanatana Goswami thought that, oh, Shankar, if Shankar sent him, there must be something. Then he remembered that, yes, I had one touchstone. Then he ordered her, please take out from the heap of the sand. Then he bring one stone. When he touch, when in iron, immediately turn into gold. So touchstone, and where they, in the Indian sabkipa, they take taste about gold and silver, it is not same. It is called Kosti Pathar, and touchstone means Paras Pathar. Another question, verse number 5 of Radhikashtakam, in Hindi translation, there is one word that Jamuna ke kamaniya kulke. You want to know about this meaning. Jamuna ke kamaniya kulke means. Stop it. So, you want to know Jamuna ke kamaniya kulke. Jamuna ke kamaniya kulke means. And the river Jamuna who flows through Vrindavan. His beautiful bank, Kamaniya means very beautiful. Kul means bank of the Jamuna. But about your second question, which mentioned in one page number 143, when I return Mathura, then I will check original book. I can say just immediate now. Stop it. I will check.
Hare Krishna Prem Vilas Prabhu. I am in Mathura now, but it is very hard to get any time because our Premananda Prabhu is very sick. He was admitted as before in Delhi hospital. During our parikrama was in Vrindavan. He came only for one day and went again admit. He operated yesterday. So I have all kind of responsibility on my head. Subhanu is not here, he went preaching. He came only for one day, he went again preaching. So it is very hard to get in time. Yet I cutting my chanting, I am giving your answer. You ask about Bhamitam Madhuram. Bhamitam means, actually meaning is vomiting. But for Krishna it is not vomiting. But you born, YHWN, you know that Jimbran, or in Hindi it is called Jambhailena. But according to Shastra, there is 18 faults, it is not in God. But for Krishna, it is not any fault. Because Krishna is doing Naravat Lila, and how it is not fault, Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan Prabhu describe everything in his Siddhanta Ratnam. If I get any time in future, I shall explain to you. Now you want to know about Gunja. Gunja is one kind of seed. Gunja is not any big tree, it is only creeper, and is very just simple to Srimati Radharani. Shankararana Pandit offered Srimad Mahaprabhu at Jagannath Puri. Shankararana Pandit came Vrindavan, returning from Vrindavan, he offered Mahaprabhu Govardhan Sila and Gunja Mala. Govardhan Sila is symbol of Sri Krishna and Gunja Mala is symbol of Srimati Radharani. Mahaprabhu served them sometimes. Thereafter Mahaprabhu offered to Srila Raghunathas Goswami. Raghunath Goswami used to serve both things, Giriraj, Giriraj Sila, stone of Giriraj, as Giriraj, stone of Giriraj as Krishna, symbol of Krishna, and Gunjamala is symbol of Srimati Radharani. It is very favorite to Radha and Krishna both. So sometime we make it garland and put in the hand of Srimati Radhika. They are put in the neck of Krishna, sometime both like so. And your another question, in verse 6, Jamuna's waves. Here, Jamuna Madhura, Bicho Madhura. Bicho means wave of Jamuna, it is so sweet. So here, Bicho Madhura means not water, not lotus. Waves of Jamuna is sweet. Because seeing waves, Krishna's heart became dense. And seeing waves, gopis' heart also became dense, so it is so madhur. Because these waves make remember both sides of Krishna's side and gopis' side, how they meet here. So it is stimulated gopis' heart and Krishna's heart when they meet in the bank of Jamuna, Jamuna Kamaniya Kulke. And you mention your question that Dasarath Sutta has translated it as being Krishna's wave. It is fully wrong. Third question, there is so many questions in third, just like 3 in 1, no, about 10 in 1. That your question about Prabhupada's Arati composed by our Param Gurudev, that first verses, you want to know significance of the word of yoga. Yoga means, here is Yoga Mayapur. Yoga Mayapur is Yogpit.
in the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jogpit is in the birthplace of Mahaprabhu, and the Krishna's pastime, Jogpit is in Vrindavan. I hope that you know about the pranam mantra of Govinda Dev. Second verse. Your second question about second verse. Baddha mukta olipul mugdha charachar. And you know about first line of second verse, sarvatra prachartu saurav manohar. In second line of second verse, baddha mukta olipul mugdha charachar. Baddha means conditioned soul and mukta means liberated soul. Oli means actually bamboo bee, but here oli means devotee. Or kul means samuha, samuha means you know plural number. They also bewildered by hearing, by seeing his preaching mood. Here dim means not lamp. Deep is just like we do arati with lamp, but here our Param Gurudev doing arati of Srila Prabhupada Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur by his conclusion of devotion, not his general lamp. And you ask, did Prabhupada light this lamp? Yes. Prabhupada, so was all conclusion of devotion. So it is lamp of devotion, of conclusion, not original love, ghee and cotton. Here, bhakati vinoda dhara jala sankha dhar niravadhi vahetaha rod nahi yaar. Here, bhakati vinoda dhara means conception of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. It is the water of conch shell. It is up to date, flowing continuously, there is no stop. Without stop, it is going on nowadays, up to date. And here, sarvabaddha mohi ghanta baje sarvakal, brihat mridanga baddha parama rasal. Sarvabaddha mohi ghanta baje sarvakal, that means different types of instrument for kirtan. It is means so many instruments for arati use here, but brihat mridanga means is not drum. Brihat mridanga means press. That means the instrument, sound of this instrument will go on up some distance, that it will stop. But brihat mridanga means press, by publication, we can preach all over the world, all over whole universe. So Srila Prabhupada used press in name of Brihat Mridanga. So it is more sweet than other instrument which used in arati, just like karatal and jhampo, ghanta, jhanjar, etc. Here jyotidharme paridhani arunavasan mukta kaila meghabrita gauriya gagan. After departure of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, at the time of Bhakti Vinod Thakur also, there are so many difficulties preaching of Vaishnavism in this world. But Srila Prabhupada Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he wear the renounced dress, and mukta kaila meghabrita gauriya gagan means the sky of Gaudiya was full of so many clouds. So many clouds mean bad idea, bad conception, which against of conclusion. So Prabhupada, by his conclusion, by his preaching, cut all against conclusion, against logic, everything, and make it free, that there is no difficulty nowadays for preaching the conclusion of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. And last, Sevadarse Narahari Chamara Dhulai. Narahari Prabhu is disciple of Srila Prabhupada Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur. He is fanning to Prabhupada. And Sevadarsa means he is ideal of all servitor. All servant. All servant give him respect. He is old one, and he knows all kind of service, and he is an ideal servant of Srila Prabhupada. So here our Padma Gurudev use this word seva darse, and Keshavoti Ananda Nirajan Gai. Nirajan means Aroti. There are Param Gurudev singing this song of Aroti of Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna, thank you, Prem Vilas Prabhu. If any kind of question you can ask me through letter or anything, I can give you answer through cassette like so, because Tungavada is here, she can arrange everything. Nowadays I am so busy that Pramandu is not here and Subhandu is here, and if Pramandu will come, yet he could not do anything, he have to take some rest. And Srila Gurudev is sick, very sick. After 25 days he is taking rice today. So after that, first week of December, Srila Mahaj will go for his checkup Bombay. That I have to take, bound to take some rest. So we shall go Jagannath Puri from there. Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna, please accept my humble obeisances. When you come, Prabhu, write to me and let me know if any kind of question, and what you, when you come in India. Prabhu, O Prem Vilas Prabhu, please convey my heartly blessings to Jai Sachi. Gaur Hari Bol.
Naveen! Oh my God, how sweet! Namami Premanandanam, Namami Premanandanam, Namami Premanandanam, Namami Premanandanam. Dandavats, Tunga here. Vishaka Prem Vilas Das Adhikari Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Thakurji Madan Mohan Induleka Chitra, who else? Reynata Subalsaka Kundalata Lalit Madhav, that rascal. Who else is there? Anyway, anybody else? This is for everyone who wants to dive and surface in the nectar ocean of Sri Gurudev Prem. So we just finished Kartik, and all I have to say is one thing: Tadatmik. Gurudev was Tadatmik with Rup and Raghunath the whole way through. Every day, the devotees were saying how he is revealing never before heard katha stemming from his own bhajan, katha that will not be read in books. Not in the past, not in the future, not ever read in books, coming straight from Gurudev's heart. And Umadidi was saying how this year especially, Gurudev was giving more on Parikrama, more intimate, more intense katha than in previous years. And he was mostly speaking in Hindi, so I could only scrape the surface. But this year we had a lot of devotees translating for us. We had Ramachandra Prabhu from Delhi, and Kavita and Savita Didis were giving us katha. Uma Didi was giving us katha. Sudanya Prabhu was giving us katha. It was a different mood. The Purukram was quite a different mood because so many Westerners are coming to Gurudev now. You wouldn't believe it. He's getting so popular. So there was, I hate to say this to you because I know it's going to break all of your hearts, but there was an Angrezi bus. Yes, you heard me right. There was a bus for the Bridge Bossies and a bus for the Angrezis. Can you believe it? My heart sank when I had to go on the bus for the Angrezis. I wanted to kill myself. I was lamenting my samskar, and I refused to do it for the first couple days because I wanted to be on the Bridge Bossy bus where all the ecstatic kirtans were going on. However, there weren't that many kirtans going on the Bridge Bossy bus, and actually the Angrezi bus turned out to be better because Sudanya Prabhu came on that bus and told Hari Katha. Anyway, so a lot of Iskhan devotees and Umadidi also came on the bus sometimes and told Katha. Anyway, a lot of Iskhan devotees came on the Parikrama this year. It was a really different mood. And at first I was kind of despondent, but actually in the middle of it, as we were going around, we camped out in Varshana, we camped out in Underground, we camped out in Kamyavan, we camped out at Govardhan. As we were camping out hither and there, the mood was ecstatic, being at these places with Gurudev. And sometimes sometimes we didn't even have latrines or any place to bathe. We would have to go in the woods. And anyway, so it turned out to be pretty ecstatic, even though there was the white male influence. Anyway, so what else? Oh, yeah, at Ter Kadam. Oh, Uddhavakari. At Uddhavakari, first of all, Uddhavakari, Gurudev revealed that it will not be written anywhere. Gurudev said, this is not written anywhere. But in my opinion, in my mood, there are two highest places for Radha Krishna's pastimes, and they are Radhakund for meeting and Uddhavakari for separation. And at Uddhavakari, Subhananda Brahmachari was speaking. And I need not say that tears came to his eyes, and tears was coming to the eyes of everyone else who was rasik and tadatmik with him. Unfortunately, I was not one of those persons who were rasik and tadatmik with him. Anyway, so then at Ter Kadamba, the mood there was very grave, very somber. We stayed there for a long time, and Gurudev said, right then and there, he said that he was meditating. Actually, the pastime is that Rupa and Sanatan were there. Rupa and Sanatan were there, and from 6 a.m. in the morning, I believe it was, to 3 p.m. in the afternoon, that's 9 hours, they were discussing katha continuously without stopping and without taking anything to eat. So seeing this, a very, very beautiful young Kishori came upon the scene. Oh Baba, my mata has sent some milk. Will you please take this milk and make some kheer for yourselves? Anyway, Rupa and Sanatan, they could not take time out of their katha to even pay attention to this little girl, what to speak of make kheer, so they just continued on in their katha. So the girl took it upon herself to make kheer for them. And when they tasted this kheer, we all know the story, when they tasted this kheer, they immediately realized that this was Srimati Radhika who had made this kheer, and they lamented, oh my God, we engaged Swaminiji in our service, what to do, we're going to go to hell. Anyway, so then Gurudev made the comment at this place that he was thinking, he came there actually on that day, he said he was thinking at that moment when he was telling this pastime, why was it that they were discussing, what was it that was of such importance that they were discussing it from 6 a.m. to 3 o'clock in the afternoon nonstop? So what he did, Gurudev said, right there, right then and there, Gurudev went deep into meditation and became tadatmik with Rupa Goswami, and he came up with the answer, and the answer is to be continued. Okay, hold on, I'll give you the answer in a minute. I've got to stop and look through my notes. Okay, so what they were discussing from 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. was that Mahaprabhu had ordered Sanatan Goswami to elaborate on Bhagavatam. But Sanatan Goswami was thinking that most shlokas in the Bhagavatam describe Krishna as the creator, the maintainer, destroyer, this, that, the other thing, etc. And he was thinking, this is not the mood in which I want to portray Krishna, but yet this is how he's described in Bhagavatam. What to do? So then they realized, Rupa and Sanatan realized, that in the first shloka of the Bhagavatam, hold on, I'll try to get that shloka and recite it. Anyway, it's that shloka, Janmadi, etc., etc. And they were discussing how, what is this Janmadi? Janma means birth or creation. And in the translation of the shloka, Adi means etc., meaning maintenance and destruction. So Janmadi means creation, maintenance, and destruction. But Adi, Rupa and Sanatan were discussing, means Janmadi. Adi means original. So Janma, the creation of the original. The original what? The original Ras. Who is the creator of Adi Ras? Srimati Radhika. This whole shloka is describing Srimati Radhika. And they were also discussing how another word in that shloka is Kutasta. Kutasta means high point. What is this high point? Govardhan. It was while standing on Govardhan that the desire to perform Ras arose in Krishna's heart. This Ras Leela is Kutasta, the topmost, the high point. And even more secret than this is that the gopis wanted to keep Krishna on Krishna's feet on their Kutasta, their high points, i.e. their breasts. And in the first shloka again is this word Anavarya, which means direct, meaning how Krishna is creating everything and maintaining everything directly, and Vyatarak, indirectly. But Rupa and Sanatan were discussing how Anvarya means direct, meeting, sambhog, and Vyatarak means indirect, Vipralamba, man. Srimati appeared there and heard their Harikatha on the pretext of making sweet rice. She didn't want to actually come and make sweet rice. She wanted to make sweet rice to serve her servants, but more than that, she wanted to hear the katha that was going on between Rupa Goswami and Sanat Goswami. In other words, Rup Manjari and Labanga Manjari. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol Rasikata. Ki Jai. All right. Gurudev was describing at this place also. Shri Rupa Manjari Padan, what is the meaning of the song? Narottam Das says, Rupa Manjari is his property. Say more bhajana pujana means that mood with which Rupa Manjari serves Radhika, I want to serve in the same mood. Her feet are my avasuna, avasara. No, hold on. Her lotus feet are my avarana ornaments. How? What ornaments? The same bhavs that Radhika feels for Krishna, Rup Manjari's heart contains the same bhavs, those ornaments. Say more Vedara Dharma. Why mention the Vedas? The Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they do not care what is Dharma, they do not care what is Adharma. They are not caring for the Vedas, they are not caring for that which is against the Vedas. So why Vedara Dharma? This is meaning that as the smarta Brahmins follow the Vedas without any deviation, in that same way, I follow Rupa Manjari's feet. Madhuri Rasi. Madhuri, her expertise in uniting Radha and Krishna. Rasi, she is full in abundance. Rasi meaning abundance, full of that Madhuri, that expertise. Shashi meaning moon. High tides come at full moon. When Rupa Manjari sees Radhika, the tides of her heart rise. Similarly, when I will see Rupa Manjari, the bhavs in my heart will also rise. Gurudev was explaining how if Rupa Goswami had not come, we would never get the treasure of Raganuga Bhakti. Love was locked in a storehouse, and Rupa Goswami had the key and opened it. The rug is found in Dwarka and Vaikuntha. It is not Sudha rug. Therefore, only followers of Braj Bhakti can be called Raganuga. Okay, now get this. This is totally ecstatic, totally only emanating from Gurudev's bhajan. Gurudev made this analogy. Now everyone listen very closely to this. This is amazing, this is beautiful, this is life-transforming katha. All right, there's different kinds of Raganuga Bhakti, right? So you put this Raganuga Bhakti in general, you put it in a sieve, meaning that which you sift out things, like if you put flour in a sieve, it will sift out the bugs or the dirt or the whatever, and you'll be left only with the flour. So you put Raganuga Bhakti in a sieve. What kind of sieve? A Rupanuga sieve. You shake it, and what will fall out of that sieve? Dasya Bhav will fall out. Sakya Bhav will fall out. Vatsalya Bhav will fall out. And you shake it a little bit more, and even Madhurya will fall out. What kind of Madhurya will fall out? Swakya Madhurya and even Kamatmika Madhurya in Sambhog Ichamayi, meaning Kamatmika Madhurya in the mood of being Krishna's lover, being a heroine, like the Astasakis. So if all these things fall out, if even these two aspects of Madhurya fall out, meaning Swakya and Parakya in the mood of a heroine that enjoys with Krishna herself, then what is left? One thing and one thing only is left. Tat, tat, bhav, ichamai, manjari bhav, palyadasi bhav, gaur premanandi, hari hari bhav! That thing! So those who wish to follow the manjaris are Rupanugas. In order to get this bhav, Gurudev says, we must be free of even a slight smell of material desires. What to speak of material desires, we must be free of even the desire for jnana. And even more than this, the desire for jnana mishra bhakti even must leave us. Rupa Goswami is distributing the keshar, the saffron. What is that saffron? Bhakti rasamrita sindhu and ujjvala nilamani. Lotus flowers contain honey, but can we extract that honey? No. Only honeybees can extract that honey. Rupa Goswami is the bee, and Mahaprabhu is the lotus. Only Rupa Goswami can extract that honey of Mahaprabhu, from the Mahaprabhu lotus. Otherwise, we would never know it existed. All right, then, After traveling around to Sanket, Nandagram, here, there, wandering through Braj like mad women, shouting out, "Hey Radhe, Braja Devi, Ke Chalalite, Hey Nanda Suno Kata." Then we went to Rup Sanatan Mat for about 8 or 9 days, where every day Gurudev took us out to the different mandirs around Vrindavan. And all I have to say is mercy. All I have to say is mercy, mercy, mercy. Gurudev was very busy at that time, so many people coming to him. So what kata I didn't get from him, I was getting from Sukhananda Prabhu. Sukhananda Prabhu, I cannot glorify Sukhananda Prabhu even if I had millions and millions of mouths. Anyway, so for 3 days, 3 days before Purnima, this last Purnima, Ras Purnima, in Vrindavan, the last Purnima of Kartik, the last day of Kartik, for 3 days at Seva Kunj, they decorated the Seva Kunj Mandir, that little Mandir there. The first night, they decorated the Mandir all in vegetables, all different kinds of colored vegetables hanging. Then the second night, all in these beautiful, beautiful white flowers everywhere, so amazingly beautiful that you cannot imagine. And on the third night also, decorated with flowers, and they had big festivals with like marching bands, and they had Brijbasi ladies there singing these beautiful Hindi kirtans, and this lady, actually this man dressed up like a gopi, dancing around with bells on his feet, chiming, and the mood was just like very, very mysterious, and this was going on up till 11 o'clock at night, and then at which time they would close the gates, and everyone had to leave, and the monkeys and everything leaves, and then every day, the reason why they had to put new decorations on each day is because at night, Radha and Krishna come there, and the pujari goes there in the morning, and all the flower decorations and everything is scattered here and there due to their transcendental play at night. So then, oh yeah, and then Radha Damodar, okay, and then at Radha Damodar, they also were decorating. They were decorating different altars around Vrindavan, different temples. They were decorating, doing beautiful Sringar with flowers. And on the night of Purnima, they had a Ras Lila at Radha Shama Sundar. They had all these sets of Radha Krishna deities, and everyone was decorated in flowers. The whole altar was actually transformed into a kunj with all these deities and the Astasakis, these big Astasakis around. Also at Radha Damodar, one night they had Srimati Radhika dressed up like Subal Saka. She actually was showing, she was wearing pants and she was showing her feet, and she had a stick in her hand like a cowherd boy, and she was holding a calf. She had a turban.
And a cow around her neck.
And she had a cow at her breast to cover up her breast because she was performing that pastime where Subal Saka dressed up like her and she dressed up like Subal Saka in order to cheat Jyotila. So at Radha Damodar, the whole altar was in Sringar, and it was like just incredible. Anyway, so we were going here and there, and Sukhananda Prabhu we'd run into him in the middle of the night at these different places, and he would tell us kata like you cannot believe. Stemming Sukhananda Prabhu every day during Kartik was chanting 3 lakhs daily. You hear me? 3 lakhs daily. Anyway, and he was so happy, he made a vow at the beginning of Kartik to fulfill the vrat of Haridas Thakur, and on the last day, on Purnima, he had fulfilled that vrat, and he went to Seva Kunj, and on that night, they were offering so many hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of offerings of bhog, and everybody was, these pujaris were walking in with these baskets on their heads, and they wouldn't let anyone touch the bhog or even look at the bhog, because of course it was bhog, and it was going to be offered to Radha and Krishna at Seva Kunj, and everyone had to leave Seva Kunj for 1.5 hours while the divine couple was eating. So what happened? Somehow or other, Sukhananda Prabhu got a ladu, and he said that Srimati Radhika herself directly gave this ladu to him, because Srimati Radhika sees him as her little friend, not more than 3-4 years old, and she's always watching after this little friend of hers, Sukhananda Prabhu. So Srimati Radhika gave him this ladu. And then he told me that he had fulfilled the vow of his rut. I said, "How are you feeling, Sukhananda Prabhu?" And he says, "You have tasted the ladu. That is the result." Anyway, things are ecstatic. So there's so much kata. I have notebooks and notebooks full of the Kartik kata and the Kartik experiences, and one tape is simply not enough. But anyway, Gurudev is going to Puri. He's going to Bombay December 5th. And then after that, he's going directly to Puri. He'll be returning to Mathura around January 5th. And he doesn't want anyone to go to Puri with him because he just wants to rest. Actually, he's been ill. He has cough and cold and flu, and he's been very tired, and he just wants to rest. So I don't think anyone's going to go. Naveen Prabhu is pretty adamant about not letting anyone go. So hopefully Gurudev will get a chance to rest and do bhajan, which he says he never has time to do here, and I tell you it's true. He's been so busy, and so many people are coming to him now. That boy from England, Shalagram Sheila, has been staying here for the past month, and he took Harinam and Gopal Mantra from Gurudev last week. Gurudev still hasn't given him a new name yet, though. Anyway, he's been here, and he's really sweet, and his heart's transforming day by day due to the mercy of Rasik Vaishnavas. And myself, I've been lamenting due to the fact that I had high hopes for bhajan by coming to Braj, and I am now here in Braj, and I cannot meet even one of those high hopes that I had for myself, and I'm lamenting my Sukriti day in and day out. And I can honestly say that I feel that you devotees in England, that you're all in a very fortunate position, because I'm having realizations that actually separation makes the heart grow fonder. Yes, it is true. I'm feeling that I'm here with Gurudev, and I'm seeing him every day, and I'm hearing katha, but I'm not absorbing one fraction of a smelling of that katha. And actually, my greed has decreased. I felt I had so much more greed in America. I was just hankering every day to be with Gurudev. And here, I'm with Gurudev every day, and I'm actually not even hankering to be with him. Actually, I'm hankering to, like, leave the mat, because the room, you would not believe this room. This room is so crowded and so messy and so disgusting. I can't even think straight. So it's like I'm just hankering actually to get out of here and have my own space and my own place where I can actually apply all the katha that I've heard and try to just to chant and do bhajan. So I'm really thinking that you are all in a fortunate position, because you're actually in a position in which you can actually do that bhajan which Gurudev wants you to do. And why are you able to do it even though you're in England and England is hell? You're able to do it because you have the association of each other. Whereas I have the association of no one in America. But anyway, I'm really having this realization that to come to Braj and to do bhajan, if one is actually able to do that kind of bhajan that the heart actually desires to do and that Gurudev wants them to do, then that's the thing to do. But oftentimes I'm finding I'm not able to do that bhajan, and I actually desire separation, actually. And on that note, Gurudev made a nice analogy on what is union and what is separation. Someone asked Gurudev, which is higher, union or separation? And Gurudev asked them, have you ever been separated from someone? Your mother, your father, your wife, anyone? And they said, yes. And then Gurudev said, do you hanker for that thing? After being united with them, do you hanker, oh, I wish I could feel separation again? No, you don't hanker for separation. You hanker for union. However, if one is sitting in a room and 500 different varieties of sweets are brought to them, unlimited numbers of 500 different varieties of sweets, as much sweets as they can eat, as much sweets as the whole world can eat and more, and all they have to do is sit there and just feed themselves one sweet after another, one sweet after the other, will they be able to go on? No. Actually, separation will be desired at some time. Why? To give the stomach a rest so the stomach can digest, and also to build up their appetite for the next installments of sweets. So he says this is the function of separation. If we're just all the time in union, 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 we can't digest it, and we can't build up an appetite for the next meeting. So separation is a must, even though union is that thing which we hanker off of after. And Gurudev also said that the other sampradayas, what is their highest conception? Their highest conception is Milan, the union of Radha and Krishna, the enjoyment of Radha and Krishna. They don't have a concept about this separation. But in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, the speciality is actually separation. And Krishna wants the glories of separation to be revealed around the world, even though it isn't the highest. But it is something that other sampradayas don't have and they don't know about. But Gurudev was saying how union is like the moon. It is very cooling. And it gives some light on a dark night. It gives some light. The moon gives some light on a dark night. But separation is like the sun. It is full, and it rises fully, and it makes you able to see everything. And that is why in separation, When in union, the gopis don't think of Krishna as God. They don't even entertain that idea. You know, he's just their Priyatam, or he's a cheater, or he's a liar, or he's a this, or he's a that. But in separation, when they go mad, sometimes they actually say, oh, we've heard that you were that you're the Supreme Personality. We've actually heard that, you know, in previous lives you were Ramachandra, in previous lives you were Vamanadeva. So how do they know these things? Because in separation is like the sun, and it reveals everything, it shows everything. So every aspect of Krishna is shown to them during separation. And also they go mad, so they speak crazy talk. They even say crazy things like accuse Krishna of being God. Can you believe that? Anyway, so then, also, what other nectar was there? So then, during Kartik, Gurudev was chanting Damodar Astakam every day, and also Radhakripa Kataksha Stavaraj, and also Namami Nandanandanam. And he was giving commentary every day on Damodar Astakam shlokas, and we're going to try to get those translated and made into a booklet. He was explaining Nandanandana Astakam, and Lalita Astakam, Jamuna Astakam, and also he was giving class on Manashiksha, Upadesha Amrita, and now Brahmar Geet.
Right, his explanation of the Jamuna Astakam. Okay,
hold on. Gurudev says that all these Hindi tapes that Naveen Prabhu has been recording over the past so many years are going to be available to whoever wants them for translation and making into books. And Gurudev said, certainly Premananda Prabhu should do this. Anyway, Prema Vilas Prabhu. Anyway, so Gurudev's explaining Brahmar Geet. Okay, why is it, can you tell me, why is it that the gopis, if they were feeling so much separation from Krishna when he went to Mathura, why they didn't send a messenger to Krishna in Mathura from Vrindavan? Why did Krishna send Uddhava from Mathura to Vrindavan as his messenger? The answer is because Krishna was feeling more separation than the gopis. More intense separation he was feeling from them. Therefore, he sent Uddhava, not to console the gopis and the Brijbasis, but to console himself, because Krishna's in Mathura, and the Mathura Basis just do not understand why he's not satisfied with these beautiful, intelligent, aristocratic queens who wear beautiful gold and jewels and diamonds, why he's not satisfied with all this opulence. He's a king now, he's got this, he's got chariots, he's got ministries, he's got palaces, why he's hankering after milkmaids who wear flowers because they can't even afford gold bangles. Why is he hankering after some, you know, cheap dust and cows? They just can't understand it. So Krishna's in so much pain, and he has no one to share this pain with, no one to ease his heart, because no one understands why he's hankering after Braj and Brajagopis. So Krishna was thinking, I'm suffering this out on my own, and I just can't do it anymore. And if there was just one person in Mathura who understood just a little bit of my heart, just understood a little bit the glories of the gopis, then I could reveal my heart to him. Then I'd have someone to pacify me. So for this reason, Krishna chose Uddhava to go to Vrindavan, so that maybe Uddhava, maybe he would see the prem of the Brijbasis, and then maybe he would be able to understand a little bit of their bhav, and then maybe he'd be able to understand a little bit why Krishna was suffering so in their separation, and maybe he'd be able to give Krishna some consolation. So Uddhava came to Vrindavan, and he thought, oh, Krishna's asked me to go and console his mother, father, the Brijbasis. No problem. I'll be there one or two days and I'll come back. And Uddhava went to Mathura. He went to Vrindavan on a big chariot, clothed in very opulent clothing with jewels and gold, thinking, yes, I'm a devotee. Really, I'm a bhakta. Really, I have bhakti for Krishna. I'm his minister. He confides in me. We're so close. Really, I have bhakti. So he gets to Braj. And what was the situation in Braj? The situation in Braj was that nobody for 3 months, none of the Brijbasis had cooked, none had cleaned, none had have bathed, none have done anything except for this. Sit around moping, weeping for Krishna. He went to Nanda Baba's house. In Nanda Baba's house, what did he find? He found cobwebs and dirt and dust everywhere. And he found the pots were turned up, filled with cobwebs. Everything was in disarray, and Nanda Baba and Yashoda were just laying around, rolling, weeping, moaning, sobbing. No housework had been done, no cooking had been gone on, no eating, no nothing. So when he saw this, he was amazed, and Nanda Baba thought, oh no, Krishna has sent a friend from Mathura, and I can't even give him any water or prasad, because There's no water in my home. No work has been going on for the past few months. No cooking. I have no prasad. So he thought, oh, I know what I'll do. I'll take him to the house of a Brahmin. Surely the Brahmins will have prasad and water to give him. Why? Because the Brahmins, they have love for Krishna. Definitely they have some prem, but it's mixed with Aishwarya, which means they're able to go on with their lives, in their lives without Krishna. They're able to cook, they're able to clean, they're able to bathe, they're able to prepare prasad. And also, they thought God had stayed with them in the form of their shalagram shilas. So they really didn't have the concept that Krishna had left. So they were able to carry on with their lives. But Nanda Baba and Yashoda Maya were not. So Nanda Baba had to take Uddhava to the house of a Brahmin to get prasad. And Nanda Baba, Uddhava was thinking, you know, how can I tell Nanda Baba, don't cry for Krishna? Because to cry for Krishna is the goal of one's life. Nor can I tell him, you know, that don't worry, your son is God, because then he'll think, what? Previously I did not know my son is God. I had lost a jewel, not knowing how valuable it is, and now you're telling me how valuable it is, and then you're going to tell me not to cry? Anyway, so this was the situation. He was stunned when he saw Nanda Baba, actually, but when he saw Yashoda Maya, he couldn't believe it, because she had so much this Viparalamba Bhav, even more so than Nanda Baba. And then when he saw the gopis, nothing could be said. The gopis had not left the spot. The gopis, when Akrura came to Vrindavan to take Krishna to Mathura, Akrura came from Mathura to Vrindavan to take Krishna from Mathura three months ago to kill Kamsa. He had come in a big golden chariot. And the gopis followed that chariot. They followed that chariot, trying to stop that chariot, weeping and moaning, Krishna, Krishna, don't leave us. Following behind that chariot, trying to stop it, until they got to the spot, Uddhavkeri. And then there they stayed in that same spot, motionless, for 3 months. They did not go back to their homes in Vrindavan. They stayed at that spot. They did not bathe. They did not eat. They did not sleep. They did not do anything but stand there practically dead in separation from Krishna. So when Uddhava, 3 months later, came to Vrindavan to console the gopis, he found them in the exact same position that Akrura had left them 3 months earlier.